With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
From 104.7 WHUP LP Hillsboro, this is She and Her. I am Anita Rao.
And I am Sandra Davidson.
And that is the very last time we're going to do that. Woo!
It's true. This is our final episode ever of a five-year endeavor.
It is. So we are in the studio. We are in Hillsboro. It is the first time we have ventured here since the beginning of the pandemic, but we couldn't end the show without doing it in this space. And we have so much we want to talk about this hour, but I guess maybe we should start with the question that everyone has been asking us on social media,
which is, but why? What is your response to that? Well, do we want to tell people how we first came to okay, so I'll just set the scene.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, we were on a walk, which is one of our favorite pastimes to do together in this pandemic era and prior to, I would say. And we had been texting about how we wanted to have a conversation about She and Her. Anita had texted me a week before and said, we should have a conversation about that. And I said, that's great. I will say that I don't really have a lot of bandwidth for, you know, a new season right now, because we'd done the COVID cocktails and COVID season early into the pandemic, and that was really fun, but a lot has been going on since. And so we went on this walk and we both said that we felt like it was time to close this chapter.
Yeah, and I think it really hit me. I went to the beach a couple of weeks before that on a beach trip and was just thinking a lot about creativity and creative projects and how I had seen so many projects that there's this clear distinction, I feel like, between these legacy projects like This American Life and Radiolab and shows that are just institutions and go on week after week. And then there are other things that have come and gone that I've had such fond relationships with, like The Cut. And
That gutted me. But why?
Right? But why? Two dope queens and these creative projects that come about and exist and then come to an end, and just feeling like I wanted for She and Her when it came to an end, for it to be a joyful end. And I just felt like we were in this time, our COVID and Cocktails series felt to me just so intuitive. It felt very natural. It was something that we both really needed to get us through that first month, and it was kind of exemplified a lot of what the show has been for me, which is a way of connecting with other people who I really admire, a way of connecting with you, and a space that has just I've just always felt better after these shows. And that season was just perfect, and it just felt to me kind of okay, I feel like if we were to end the project now, it would be a very joyful end. And I think we've given so much to this and we've taken it so seriously all 5 years that when it comes to an end or when it felt time, I wanted it to be because we were choosing it, not because we had just...
Somebody was moving. Or...
Yeah, or there was no energy left, or there was, like, we were forcing ourselves to keep going. So that was kind of what brought me to the, like, why I felt like now was a good time. How about you?
I would second that, and I would also say that... I mean, I mentioned bandwidth being a consideration, and we respect this project so much. And I also respect the place where we've made this project for the last 5 years, which is our radio station. And we call in a lot of reruns. So, you know, I think a lot about that. And then I also think that we have both really grown up together in all kinds of different ways as we've made this project. And even though, you know, one of the things that I was telling Anita before we went on air, someone reached out to me and said, you know, so you guys are deciding to let go of this in this time when so many other things have changed or you've been forced to let go of, like, and that's the one thing that someone has said to me that has made me kind of been like, oh, is this the wrong decision? But I feel like it's time and that we... The time that I want to have with you, and this has been both a friendship thing, but also like a creative and I guess professional thing. It's been a very public facing project of ours. I just don't want to. I want to take time to be your friend during this period, the pandemic, this social revolution that we're experiencing, and so much of the time that we've spent together over the last year has often begun with the question, so where are we with the show? And I don't want that to be the beginning of our conversation anymore.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And I think, like, there is so much to say about, like, what doing a creative project has done for our friendship. But I think it also, like, as we get busier and busier, like, there is a way that... just life makes it so that in our minds we kind of like, okay, well, she and her is still our touch point, and it means that we don't have as much dedicated time for our friendship. So I think part of this saying goodbye is also like creating space and opening up new space for our friendship to grow in a way that's like not at all connected to she and her.
And we announced this on Instagram on Wednesday, and we were just so reserved in our announcement. And it's funny because I've been thinking about it for some time. We've known about it for together. We made this decision together a while ago, but making it real by doing that, I was really, really emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that as I was driving over here tonight, I was thinking about goodbyes and how most goodbyes that I've had to do in life haven't been such a healthy and collective choice.
Yeah.
It's been the type of goodbye where you feel wronged or someone feels wrong and then you have to make sense of it. Or it's been the type of goodbye that is a life cycle goodbye. So somebody leaves this planet, this earth, this life, and you have to say goodbye in that way. And I feel... like we're doing this with dignity, and I feel such a sense of gratitude for that.
Same. And that it feels like a choice that we are, we could make a different choice and we could do it, we could make this choice 6 months from now, but I think it's like a gift to be able to make it now when we have like the bandwidth to process
Hashtag
it.
Bandwidth.
Hashtag bandwidth. Seriously.
Don't worry, y'all. We have popcorn in here.
We have popcorn, we have wine, and we're going to make it through this hour. Well, let's talk a little bit about who we were when we started. So October 2015.
We were babies.
So I can start.
Please.
So I had moved back to North Carolina about a year before. I'd been living in New York for 3 years. And I think I was in a place where I was still trying to figure out what being back here meant, like who my community was going to be and like what I wanted from my life. I kind of like, I had this like very like college mindset, I think, where I was like, I need like activities. I need projects to like get involved and feel connected. And Sandra was the one who first approached me about this show. She'd heard about WHUP and this radio station. And I feel like in very classic, like, our dynamic fashion, like, you were the ideas person and like had all of the heart and the passion, and I was like, I don't know how we're gonna make it happen. How are we gonna do it? We don't have enough time. What are the deadlines gonna be? And but we started it, and I think it was like, looking back now, I feel like the way that I've approached this project over the course of the 5 years, I think has been so different. And I think I've been like really pushed to evolve how I orient myself toward it because of you and like your approach to creativity. And I feel like that has been like one of the biggest like gifts and lessons for me, is that like this is a passion project. So like doing it should be a source of joy, not like something we check off the list. And like we do take it really seriously. And for the first year, I mean, I don't even know how many hours we spent. Like, we did really production heavy episodes, and you know,
super scripted.
And then over the years have kind of like let it evolve into being something that feels a bit more natural, which is like having a conversation and pursuing our natural curiosities. And I think that evolution like represents a personal evolution for me in like learning and relearning how to like tune into myself and my instincts, and like trust instinct and trust internal intuition more than like my anal brain.
I love to hear that, because I know that's been a journey for
It's been a journey. How about you? Where were you October 2015?
Well, I had finished grad school the previous spring and was a part of a fledgling documentary publishing project, and my fiance had just moved back to North Carolina from Iowa, so we were getting used to each other again and figuring out what our life was going to be like and our rhythms were going to be like. And I think that I was not very confident in my creative voice and my self-concept generally. And this project, one of the things that I've always been drawn to you for is your steadfastness and focus and intellectual rigor and drive and your commitment to making things well. And I was so excited to join forces with you in that way and to work on something together. And I feel like I probably couldn't have said this then, but in my mind, I knew intuitively that the type of conversations that we were going to be having and the way that we were going to have those conversations by live radio and through audio were going to force me to come to know myself better and to develop a self better. And I was thinking last night about how so many people who are creative, who do things in the visual art realm or the photography realm, which is a outlet that I have really developed in the last 5 years too, there's something different. It's easier to be less vulnerable when you're putting out work where it's not your voice, where it's not yourself, allowing yourself to just speak off the cuff. And that's so much of what we've done. And in that way, I feel like it was the Olympics that we threw ourselves into.
Seriously.
And especially you. I mean, and I always knew, you know, I was always interested in going into a storytelling field, a humanities field, but you were always working in radio. And so I always respected and took seriously what it meant for you to make this kind of work, because I knew you had big dreams in this medium.
Yeah.
So that's for who I was then.
Yeah.
And a lot has changed.
I mean, how would you mark It's like, it's really mind-boggling to mark everything that has changed. But one thing that, like, I feel like it's important to say, because this didn't, I don't know, we've always been so, it's been so funny because we've been, well, I feel like we've been very vulnerable, and we've been very open on the show about many things. There's like a, there's like chunks of our personal lives that we've always kept off the air. And I think like most of it has to do with like our romantic relationships with men, which I appreciate because I feel like it's allowed us to be like that. I don't know, this is about our friendship and our connection that has nothing to do with that. But I think one thing that's interesting to mark and talk about, which is that, so we started this podcast in October 2015. And in February 2016, or March, February, I think February 2016.
Who's counting?
I moved in with Sandra for March, April, for like 4 months, because I broke up with my college boyfriend who I'd come back here to live with. And if you just think about that, like I it's so interesting for me now to look back at that time and be like, we had just started this really intense creative project together, and then we moved in together. I moved in with you. And
we moved in together.
I moved in with you and Benjamin. And like how that in many ways is like this just like shoving together of the like our friendship and this project. And I mean, I learned a lot of lessons in that time about a lot of things, and like have regrets about how, or I guess just learned a lot about navigating my own emotional state while in a state of trauma and also living in the world with other people. But I think it's like to mark these, like there's been so much life that we have lived outside of this show while we've still put on this show together at the same time.
Yes.
And I'm curious like how you think that has shaped our content or showed up in our content or shaped our approach to the show.
Whoa. Okay. That's a classic Anita question. The preamble. Well, that certainly was a big chapter for us, that time that you speak about. And you were doing so much living yourself. And I was doing a lot of living with you. And I think that, how did that show up in the show? I don't even know if I think about it.
Hmm.
Do you have an answer?
I mean, my answer is, I guess, that it, I feel like it forced us, it might have been one of the first things, and maybe this is me, I don't know. It feels like it was maybe one of the first things that encouraged us to be flexible with what the show is.
Yes.
Because I feel like early on, like when you start a podcast, there's all this like stuff about, you know, what you're supposed to do, which is like define your niche really specifically and like have a specific voice and have a format. And we like, I mean, if you look over, we've done like 80 some episodes and like, y'all, we have changed gears about 18,000 times. But I think that like that, like letting go of that rigidity and letting the project evolve into like what we needed it to be in that moment, I feel like is like a big way that our friendship and like what was going on outside of the show influenced how we did the show.
I'm tracking now. Yeah. I feel like it kept us aspirational about who we wanted to be.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think that Anita and I were texting leading up to this show, and I was thinking about how, you know, we started like an episode a week for a long stretch, and then we transitioned to the season model. Our voice really changed. The types of shows that we were doing really changed. And I feel like that evolution, that was almost what we were becoming more comfortable with ourselves as we became more comfortable with what it is that we were doing with the show. And there was some sort of connection between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's like this show has always been like a little, not little, it has always been a sacred touch point that we like pull it out of the drawer every now and then, and we're like, let's look at this. What are we going to do with it now? Like, what do we need in our lives that we can explore through the format of this show?
Exactly.
And that is precious to mm-hmm. me. And I think that that is one of the things that that's a lesson to me. And I think it's so special, especially in fields where egos are a thing, to have that in a way, a selfless way, with a friend and mm-hmm. with a collaborator. And that's been a huge takeaway for me. And, you know, you mentioned at the top our different approaches and styles, but I never felt hamstrung by our differences by any ways. Mm-hmm. I always felt stronger because of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, too, that time that we lived through where we were living together, that also that transitioned our friendship in a different way. And so, you know, we learned how to set certain boundaries within our friendship through that. And that was also reflected.
Yeah.
In how we constructed, how we put time into this show and how we made this show and how intense we were going to be in the post-production of this show.
Yeah.
But I, one thing I will say that never changed is our, who we decided we wanted to have on the show.
What do you mean?
Like, we always, we never felt like any ask was too big.
Oh, no. I mean, it's like, that's what's the really funny thing to look back on is, like, we literally, I feel like some of the people that we have asked to be on the show, at the point at which we asked them, they were our, like, cultural fixations.
Like Channie Nicholas.
Like Channie Nicholas. We learned her name was Channie. C-H-A-N-I, the astrologer who we'd been getting emails from in our inbox for
years.
I don't know how long. Years and years. And we were like, we'll ask her to come on, she and her. And
y'all, funny story about that.
Tell them.
Okay, so she came on the show and we were just like enamored and mm-hmm. so jazzed and so stoked about the episode. And then, you know, the other thing about this show, which has been a journey for us, self-promotion and promotion of the content. And so we had no idea how to use social media.
I'm really cringing remembering how we did this. Okay, keep going.
So what we did was we started promoting the show by just tagging other astrologers on Twitter. And we were told gently by our beloved guests that that was not a good strategy. But I will say that that was a lesson because I sent an email in response and said, earnest mistake,
mm-hmm.
honest mistake. And I felt like we came to accord through that versus like young baby Sandra at the very beginning of the show would have just been like, oh my God, I'll never live through this humiliation. I'm so embarrassed. But I learned through that particular humiliation.
Seriously. And like there have been so many professional lessons through this of like acknowledging. I mean, God, y'all, there were some episodes at the beginning where we tried to do live shows and we got the church giggles.
Oh my
like
God.
To a degree to which we had the only way we could try to continue the show was like one of us stay in the room and the other one actually go and stand out in the hallway. But even then, like
we permanently burned a bridge with that.
We did permanently burn a bridge. But like ways that we had to kind of like hold ourselves accountable to like what we were trying to do while still being human.
Yes.
And like really struggling.
Yes.
With doing both of those at the same time.
Yes. Although there is a certain exhilaration to having the church giggles like that. I wish I had more spaces in my life to have them.
I know, right?
Nothing like live radio for them.
Just
that's
uncontrollable
for sure.
Church giggles.
This is a great transition, though. So we have a little outline that we want to make sure we hit on a couple notes. So actually, our first bout of church giggles came on episode 2. We felt like we killed it in episode 1. So we came into the studio. We had a huge guest. And we totally botched it. But episode 1 featured our moms. Episode 1 was called Wear the Damn Bikini.
It was.
And
which is a Rebecca Davidson original line.
Who, in sharing her thoughts and feelings about our last episode tonight, told me that she, that Sheila, Anita's mom, it has been a true pleasure to work with her on this. And that she really appreciates having her 2 minutes of fame.
I love that so much.
Yeah, let's talk about Our mom.
So I wish I could remember the origin of how. We had them on that episode, and then it, like, people just gave us so much positive feedback about.
It feels like an Anita StoryCorps idea, rooted idea for episode
yes,
one.
Yes, totally. Like, okay, we're going to do the show about us and our evolution, our feminism. Like, let's talk with our moms.
Oh, right. Let's ask them about
theirs. Yes. Yeah. And then people just loved them, and, like, they both had, like, very, like, charming affects on the show, so we were like, let's just have them back, and then they became a recurring part of the show. And I think for me, I think that honestly, like, was really transformational for me in my relationship with my mom. Like, I feel like there was this just way of, like, seeing her quirkiness, like, in a totally different way, like, it, because I saw it through the eyes of other people, that, like, endeared her to me even more than she's already incredibly endearing.
Peak endearing.
But I think also, like, I feel like I kind of, like, went away to college and had this big, like, intellectual, like, revolutionary experience as a women's studies major. How classic is that? But, like, it was a way of kind of, like, sharing that in small pieces over the years of, like, this is who I am now, and, like, being able to connect, like, there not being this gulf between, like, who I was and who I am, and, like, being able to, like, continuously, like, connect. Ooh. That I feel like having our moms on the show was a really important part of that for me. And they just, like, they are so, both of our moms are, like, peak mom, like, so supportive, listen to every episode
live. Let me tell you, when we were having those church giggles, they were texting us, "What's wrong? What's going on? There's no sound."
There's no sound. Something is wrong. But just, like, their willingness to, like, be so present and support this project, I feel like, I don't know, was like super special. And I think, like, was it an important, like, thing to keep us lifted up in the moments where it felt like we didn't know why we were continuing. Yes. To press on.
Yes. And I feel so much gratitude for my mom being willing to come on the show and answer the questions that we asked our moms to answer and talk about the things that we've asked them to talk about. And I think this is true for your mom. Neither one of them are necessarily public people.
No.
And so I was reminded at different points throughout this process of that in some of the conversations that we had, and just have such a gratitude for their vulnerability, and at times felt like the reason why my mom was allowing herself to be that vulnerable was as an act of support for me.
Yeah, totally. And, like, a way of, I feel like for my siblings, like, she and her has been, like, a really fun way to get to know my mom, because.
Yes, I was wondering.
Yeah, it's like a way of accessing parts of her, like, the microphone gives you the ability to, like, ask things that you wouldn't ask across a dinner table, and, like, it's yes. It's just true. And I think that there's so much I've learned about my mom and your mom, and that they've shared with us, that, like, wouldn't have been possible if it weren't for, like, the actual platform and microphone.
Yes, I agree.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I think we've touched on how our friendship has been
yes.
changed by this. Actually, I'd like to take this moment for a rapid fire question.
Okay.
Well, because we talked about the moms. Your dad did come on the show.
My dad did.
Which was an amazing episode. My dad did share some feedback for the show for tonight, which I
tell us.
I would like to share.
Okay.
For the air. Well, SK, it's my nickname, Sandra Catherine. I have been proud to have a daughter who is a radio personality. And let me assure you, .. some of your topics have made me squeamish. I love you and Anita. Swing for the fences tonight. What do you feel like it's been like for your dad to hear the conversations we have?
It's been big. I want to find what he said when I told my family. It has been really big. I think he has said repeatedly, like, he has felt like he got to know me. He got to know me through the show, honestly. My dad is not a big question asker. And so it's kind of like, if you offer and you offer to share, like, you will be received. Like, you won't be asked a question in particular. And so I think that he has really gotten to know me and how I think and what's important to me through this show. And it's really cute because basically what my parents would do with every She and Her episode is they would take the dog on a walk and my mom would like have her phone and they would listen on speaker. My mom would have already listened to the episode like twice. And then the two of them would listen on speaker and then they would have conversations about the show and its material and me.
Love
and
that.
So it's this like really, I mean, it's a weird thing that happens with radio and podcasts where it's like people get to know you really well and you might not have the same relationship with them. That's not how it is with my dad. That's how it is with some other randos. Stories about that later. But I think with my dad, I think it's been really special for him to have like a window into how I think that wasn't like us talking directly.
What is your least favorite title we've ever chosen?
Oh,
for an
my
episode?
God. We've had some
terrible titles. Is yours the same as mine?
Baby got books.
Such regret for that show title.
We titled an episode Baby Got Books.
About books. I wish you could see our faces. That show, though, is amazing because one of our guests who came on has published her first romance novel, which I really enjoyed. So that's another joy of mine is kind of looking back through the archive and seeing where people are, you know, New York Times bestselling authors. Jessamyn Stanley, my goodness gracious.
Blew up. Post-She and Her.
Lachlan.
Oh. Lachlan. Amazing actor on Sabrina.
Yes. And just non-binary, like, leader in the world.
I'm sorry. I'm looking back at other
titles.
Other titles and how some of them is like, the point of a title is to, like, evoke curiosity, but also needs to make some kind of sense. Like, we titled our second episode, Hideous Dragon Beasts and Other Phenomenon.
Oh my god, we were like, what's a catchy title? How to Mom Part 1, How to Mom Part 2.
Yeah, our titles might have been, I love Women Who Lol, still cracks me up.
Women Who Lol?
Yeah.
Like LOL?
That was our episode with comedians.
Oh jeez.
And then some of them are really dramatic. I love the one that's just a case of the giggles might be one of the episodes that we've gotten the most positive feedback about.
Really?
So it was, we talked about our AOL Instant Messenger screen names. And it was the first episode, I think, that we did where it was just the two of us, no guests.
Just chatting.
And y'all, behind the scenes, what you've got to know about these episodes where it's just the two of us, no guests, is that we usually are tipsy.
You had no idea. We know.
So a case of the giggles was 100% because
we learned the hard way about how much wine was in a can of wine.
Through She and Her.
Yes.
What are some of your other episodes favorites that stand out?
You know, I just am so tender to the ones where we brought on people we knew really well. I loved bringing on my cousin and her mother to talk about the insane story of how she discovered her mother's biological family. that was really special. Mm-hmm. Both of our sisters did amazing mental health shows.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love talking to Lachlan. Let's be real, Charlie Lowry.
Charlie Lowry.
She's the hometown favorite. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm.
No, she's just such a light, and loved having that time with her. You know, the episode that we did with Jackie, we did an episode with a woman who literally drove down from Virginia on a Saturday. I don't even know how she'd found our show.
She found our show because someone from Iowa who had a mutual friend of mine friended me on Facebook. He started listening to She and Her. He is an ex-military, and he, I think, shared our show with her, and then she reached out to us.
And she wanted to tell her story about being sexually assaulted by a fellow military peer. And that was such a profound experience because she found us and said, I need a space to make this real. And similarly to my friend Crosby, who we brought on the show, who wanted to tell a story about something that she went through, like a very personal trauma that she experienced in her family. There were several people who we encountered in this show who wanted a space to air those types of stories. And that felt, I took that really seriously.
I think this might be a good time to share. So, yeah, I think that like us being open to kind of like the show evolving in its approach and being like, we will bear witness, we will interview, we will kind of like hold space and not feeling really strict about like what the show had to sound like, I think allowed for some of those moments. And my sister shared part of that with me. So my sister came on for an episode about guilt, and it was about guilt because of a miscarriage that she had. And so she shared with us, recording the episode about my miscarriage, I was super apprehensive, but found it to be very cathartic and heard from so many people after that share their own stories with me. And I've continued to hear from people over the years, which has been a lovely way to keep that experience and story alive. So I think that's been one of the really special things about this show is like people choosing us and this platform as a space to tell some of their like sacred and most private moments, and then feeling like that helped them kind of stay connected to those memories or get relief from them or get support around them. I think it has been really special.
And I mentioned, you know, how part of this doing this show helped me, I felt like it would help me come to know myself better and understand myself better. And one Cameron, who did our theme music and our original art, she sent a message to me today and said, I was really struck by the episode you guys did around anxiety because I remember Anita talking about all these characteristics she had and how she thought they made her a good student, et cetera, et cetera. And she was like, but that's actually anxiety. And I remember thinking, wait, everyone doesn't feel this way? And I appreciated y'all's candor so much. So those are other moments, too, that, I mean, I think we wanted things like that to happen for our listeners, where you heard yourself inside of people's stories and you thought, oh, it's not just me, or oh, this is actually something that I don't have to hold on to or have to always be in my life.
And I think the level of, I mean, we have tried really hard, especially I think in the last like 3 years when we kind of allowed this to be very conversational, is like allowing the conversations to be very free flowing. And because we often kind of started with a connection that we already had, it made episodes get like very personal very quickly. And I think that allows for a level of depth that you don't get in a traditional interview, because like there's trust already before you even turn on the mics. There's trust there. And our friend Laura Pelliser shared some really lovely things about that. So she came on to talk about, body image, and her episode is Eat the Damn Croissant.
And that's a good title.
That's a good title. And her kind of the way that her mom taught her to think about and relate to her body, and how that shaped kind of how she responds to body changes today, which is from a place of neutrality. Like, I remember my favorite thing is her talking about like sitting on the bus and being like, oh, like you know, her pants feel snugger or other things that, like, you know, may trigger in other people, like, oh my gosh, like, I'm gaining weight. And she's like, oh, that means, like, I have a little more, like, squish to, like, help my butt not get numb on the bus. And, like, just finding ways to make positive connections with body changes. So she said she got two really lovely pieces of feedback from her show. So one of them, she said, my friend Brianna wrote to me and said, when you did that podcast ages ago, I listened to it and loved it. Millie, my sister, just had a baby girl, and I was telling her about the way that you explain how your mom actively worked to help give you a healthy body image of herself and others. I shared it with her today, and she asked me to tell you because it is, she asked me to tell you thank you because it has influenced the way she plans on raising her daughter, who is a wee baby right now. And another one from a friend, Chloe, who Laura hadn't spoken with in about 5 years. Said she was on a trip. She took a couple of months off her job and life in Ottawa and decided to walk the Camino de Santiago in Spain and started it. And during the walk, she met a ton of people, met a friend from France that she ended up walking with almost the whole time. And so they were chatting about various things over a few days. And she had seen Laura's podcast and said, why don't we listen to it with this new friend? So they listened. And the topic of bodies came up. And after listening to the podcast, said it was the perfect thing and it made me smile to hear the discussion about Montreal. And I thought it was such a positive thing to share with my new friend.
Aww.
Very sweet.
That was a great episode.
Yeah, it was.
Love you, LP. Well, let's see. We're just, the clock is running.
I know.
I just want to, this is sweet. So we got a message from a friend, Lizzie, who said, I've just been thinking about how far ahead of so many media leaders, say nothing of public media people, you two have been. Oh, wow. It's that kind of leadership and vision that you've held with this project without pretense. That's the part that stood out the most to me. You and Sandra are the real deal, and I feel lucky to know you. I think the pretense thing is like the operative notion for me in that. And just bring this back to an earlier comment. We have really been this, the latter versions of this show have been very comfortably us and very non-pretentious. And that's hard to find these days. And I, that's something that I really, I was talking with Ben last night about how, you know, the challenge of like, okay, so what's next personally there? I want to carry that non-pretense into more work, but it's also hard to do.
It is. And I think that there's an element of the, I mean, being part of a community radio station, I think has given us a lot of freedom. Major shout out to WHUP here because it is, it's given us a space, a physical space to bring people to, and technology and things that have made us be able to make this professional. But I think it is also relaxed enough atmosphere and relaxed enough kind of guidance and expectations that it has allowed us to kind of be ourselves. And like when we need to take some weeks off because we're slammed, like we can do reruns, and like it's allowed us to evolve this project in a way that I think has made it like person first, which I think like with a lot of other creative projects, like once you get to that threshold of professionalization, it's like, well,
you production over person.
Exactly. And production over process, for sure.
For sure. For sure.
So I really appreciate Lizzie saying that. And yeah, that really means a lot to hear from someone who thinks a lot about media and media evolution. So that's really awesome.
And I hope that our station manager, Bob Burtman, is listening to him to this tonight. It has been an utmost joy of my life and point of pride to have a community radio station.
Yes.
And it was such a thrill to start with this station and to come in here every week and to have rapport with people who we, you know, cross paths with during the station. I remember one Christmas, I had to come pull a show from the archives off one of the hard drives in this station. And it was like the holidays. It was one of those weird Decembers in North Carolina. It was like 75 on Christmas. And I remember running over here on Christmas Eve and grabbing some audio, and Bob was in here working on some stuff and just having a chat. Yes. And it was just like, this is what, like, I actually felt rooted in a place through here in a way that was hard to after having left a graduate program at UNC and just kind of feeling disconnected from community institutions. And we also, because we had this space, because we weren't making this in our closets, we were able to bring in people to intern with us. And we've had some amazing experiences with women who have come to intern with us in the summers. And I treasure that as well.
Yeah, we had three interns over the course of our time. We had Monique, who was our first intern, then Anna Canada, and then Lucy Jones, who wrote us the sweetest message that I'm going to read. So Lucy was our intern
last summer. Yeah, last summer.
And she went on. So she is amazing. I first, like, mentored her, like, on how to podcast when her mom reached out to me because she was a student at Durham School of the Arts and was just interested in starting a podcasting club. And then she interned with us, and now she is in, she goes to Brown, and she just is finishing her first year. So she wrote us, love and miss you guys so much. We'll miss hearing your voices on air. I wanted to thank you for being wonderful mentors to me when I worked with you. You made me feel like my voice and my ideas mattered and empowered me to keep podcasting at Brown. It was so powerful to see such strong women in radio, and it set the tone for the work I've done after. You guys are absolute queens, and I look up to you both so much, which is just, like, amazing. I love you, Lucy. But I think that's, like, that's been a really awesome thing, is it's given us a, yeah, physical space to be able to, I mean, we don't get paid for this. This is a passion project. Unfortunately, we can't pay anyone who interns with us, but it's allowed us to, like, bring people on who want to see, like, all of the parts of the process.
Learn how to run a soundboard.
Learn how to run a soundboard.
Learn how to, like, develop a show. Learn how to script.
We'll pay you in snacks and wine. It's basically
the only thing we can pay you with. I will. There's another studio write-in. I feel like we cannot go through this episode without mentioning our friend and recurring guest, Laura, who has come to talk with us about online dating.
And she's been on our show three times.
Yeah, and Laura mentioned, my favorite memory easily was being in that sauna of a studio with y'all and trying to string any thought together that wasn't someone please bathe me in ice. Also, the pre- and post-production conversations in the car that were not safe for work.
Oh, yes. In the pre-pandemic times, we would drive to and from the show together, which would be a lot of us catching up and then talking about the things we couldn't say on the air.
So that leads to a good one of the final questions on our list that we wanted to get through. What would not have happened if it weren't for this show?
I have so many things.
Okay.
So many so that I wrote them in a note that I need to pull up.
I'm going to pull up my notes because I wrote a lot too, and I just want to make sure.
Okay.
Touch on everything.
So I think the first thing that would not have happened was just the multitude of connections with individual humans that I have made through the show that I would have admired from afar but not have had a connection with otherwise. I think there are a lot of people who we've brought on because we love their work and we wanted to know more about it, and it has led to us being able to establish real friendships with them. Aaron Terry, I would say, is one of those for me.
Shout out to Aaron.
Who has been on our show now three times. She is behind the comedy, I always forget the best way to call them, but comedy collective, Eyes Up Here, which tries to create space for basically non-heterosexual white men to have space in comedy venues. And she's incredible, and I feel like that's a friendship I would not have had for this show. So lots of just people, individual people that I feel like this show has allowed me to develop real friendships with. That's the first on my list. How about you?
The reconnection factor has, like, I was thinking through this, and one of my favorite episodes we did was we brought my friend Ariel on, who I'd grown up with and hadn't talked to in years. And she came on to talk about having been a teen mom, which we had grown apart by the time we got to high school. So I didn't really know about what that experience was like for her, and just loved having the opportunity to have a reason why to have a thoughtful conversation with her about her life and how she was and who she was then. Let's see. I wouldn't have ripped the undercarriage out from Benjamin's car had she and her not been a thing. Because one night we were leaving the station and Anita had a flat tire and I did a U-turn because she called me and she's like, I have a flat tire. And I did a U-turn over what I didn't know was a...
Median.
Yeah. And I ripped the undercarriage out from Ben's car while doing that. That wouldn't have happened.
That would not have happened.
She and her. I don't think I would. I don't know if I'd be in audio. And I'm so glad that I am. I love this medium. So that's one of those things for sure.
I feel like that's like honestly my biggest thing is that. So my day job is working on the state of things, and I've been a producer for a long time.
Her day job.
My day job. This is my night job. But the reason why I got the opportunity to host was because Frank, Stay Show.
for those of you
who don't just call him Frank, said to me, like, I think he'd only listened to one or two episodes of She and Her, but he was like, well, you do a podcast and it's great, so you should host, like, you should host the State of Things.
Wow.
And I have never thought of myself, I've always told myself I was like a behind the scenes radio person, not an on the air, even though I know that what lights me up the most is like interviewing. And if it weren't for She and Her, I do not think he would have ever thought to
offer that.
And now, like, that has become, like, as the year, God, this is my fourth year, I think, of hosting the State of Things, and now I host once a week, and it's just been, like, such a source of professional and personal joy for me, and I don't think that I would be hosting the State of Things today if it weren't for this show. So that's the biggest thing for me, I think, is, like, making me trust my voice, and that it's a voice that doesn't have to like be only behind the scenes, and like launching
anything but, in my opinion,
launching me into where I feel like I am today career wise which is awesome.
I love that.
Yeah,
well, we have 11 minutes.
Is there anything else we say some... Oh, wait. I have a few more things I want to say about things that wouldn't have happened. Learning how to advocate for myself. I feel like we have learned some hard lessons about, like, standing up for ourselves and being our own advocates when it comes to this show that I don't know that I would have had the guts to do otherwise, which is, like...
Hey, Channing, we're sorry we didn't understand Twitter.
Yeah. but believing, I guess, like, maybe saying that we could do something before we believed that we could, if that makes sense. Like, we did this live show at MotorCo a couple of years into the show where it was a combination of a bunch of different podcasts.
Oh, we taught a class. That would never have happened.
Taught a class about podcasting. And I think there's a lot, I mean, this is talked about a lot when it comes to women and creativity and... all of those things, but like you like faking it till you make it is not a natural instinct. I'm like, I gotta make it, and then I'll tell you I've made it, maybe, but probably not. And like, I feel like this show has made us, like, it gave us a platform that people recognized us for, which then made it so people would reach out, and then we had to be like, yeah, okay, we can do that. And like, it you know, it like forced us into doing things that I don't think we would have done, and advocating for ourselves and seeing ourselves as, like,
Phoebe Judge once met us and gave us advice about podcasting.
She did. She came on our show as well.
She did.
Seeing ourselves as, like, true creative professionals in a way that I don't know that we would have. So
100%.
That and finding joy and not thinking of things as a task list. I guess that's my really heady way of saying, I think what's, like, been the past few days, I've been very overwhelmed by just a lot of feelings around the end of the show, but I think overwhelmingly feeling so much joy around everything that we have done and the relationships we've built and the memories we have, like, with this space. And so letting that, like, joy drive us and connecting with that, I think, has been big.
Agreed. And thank you.
Yeah, thank you
so much to everyone who has poured energy and attention and love and creativity into this show. Because there have been so many people, and that has meant so much to us. It has made this project even stronger than what it ever could have been if we were doing this in a vacuum and our listeners were randos from, you know, the other side of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to thank Cameron Laws and Sam Gerwick. Cameron designed our amazing She and Her logo.
Which so many people ask me about, Cameron. I don't know if you're listening right now, but people are like, how'd y'all find your logo? It's amazing.
She's one of our biggest advocates, yes. I would say. And she and Sam created the original music for our show, which was the coolest thing ever to have original music
yes.
for our show. Talk about something that made you feel totally legit. Thanks to WHUP and Bob Burtman. Thank you to our mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you to our interns, whom we named. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you to our friends. Thank you to Anna Fagan for making a deck for us explaining how we could promote She and Hope better.
I like the part where she was like, y'all just need to be personalities on Twitter. And we were like, we don't do Twitter.
But really, like, it was amazing how much people were like, let me use my expertise in my mm-hmm. field to try to help you make something of this. That felt like buy-in,
mm-hmm.
and that felt important, because it's not always been something that we felt like, is this working?
Mm-hmm.
Who else? I made a thing.
Yeah, our sisters, our families, our partners. We don't talk about much on the show, but support us.
Oh my God.
Yes. Behind the scenes.
Thank you, Benjamin.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, Google Docs.
Thank you, Google Docs and GChat, for keeping our friendship in the show alive.
Yes.
GChat, if it weren't for GChat, we may not be here today.
Thank you, Voice Memo app. What's next? We have a few minutes. What's
next?
I don't even know. Like, is this the right question to end this on? What do you want to carry with you from this?
What do I want to carry with me from this? Oy vey, that's a big question. I mean, so much. I think, obviously, trusting instincts is a big one. Trusting creative instincts. Leaning into joy and joyful moments. The beauty of female friendship, my God. Like, ooh. The women who have showed up for us in so many ways in the show, of friends we've had throughout our lives who've come on and shared their stories, people who have supported us behind the scenes, who've cheered us on for the show. I think, like, that is a, you know, the power of female friendship has been, like, threaded through every episode of this show. So just continuing to value and hold space for and put energy into that is huge. How about you?
I think that I want to stay centered in the fact that was revealed to me time and time again in this show, which is that ordinary people are extraordinary.
Mm.
And that people in your life, not the people that you encounter because they're influencers on social media or celebrities, but there are people in your life who are working so hard to live meaningful lives, to live soulfully, to live intentionally, and to make their community and their families and this world a better place. And I was moved time and time again by that, and I was convicted time and time again by that, and reflecting that in my own life. And that is something that I will hang on to. That is something that I also saw by making this work in the place where we made it, which is a community radio station.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that is a huge takeaway. And I think that feels more relevant than ever.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Love you.
Love you. All right, guys, that is our show.
It is. Thank you so much for joining us today and all of the days that you have spent listening to us. You can find us on the internet. SheAndHerRadio.com, SheAndHerRadio on Instagram, SheAndHer on Facebook. We don't know what we're going to do with all these platforms, but
we'll sell them. Just name your price.
This is how we're going to finally make the big bucks off of this creative endeavor, selling you all of our content. Thank you so much to everyone who has supported us along the way. We love you, and
God bless.
God bless. See you soon.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.